Today program with Tom Comack is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2017 and gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Kiev, agus fault you could be in Clark, come and Luke Clask in the shock to the shoulder. Me, Tom Comack, with you as always on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And my thanks to Jimmy Stafford there and to Brendan Quinn as well. Good to hear him. Powerful outro there on that show, Jimmy. And well, it's the GAA programme. We're here with you until 9 o'clock tonight. And my special guests tonight are Tony Boyle, former Donegal star forward, of course, an All-Star back in 1992. And Alan Rogers, who is the GAA correspondent with the Ulster Herald and indeed reporter with the Ulster Herald. And well, there can be only one topic of conversation really this week. That, of course, is the eagerly awaited Ulster semi-final meeting of Tyrone and Donegal. That's on in Clonus on Sunday, and of course we'll have live action from that game. And what is a bumper and busy weekend of sport here on Highland Radio and indeed in the Northwest. And there's only one, as I said, topic really we're discussing this week, and it's on the mouths of everybody probably from quite early in the year, I think. And Tony Boyle, a very good night to you.
Evening, Tom.
And looking forward to the game. And obviously, Alan Rogers, you're equally looking forward to it too in Tyrone.
I'm sure we are, surely, Tom. A big one for Tyrone especially, I think.
Yeah, big one for both counties. Tony, first of all, before we talk about the game itself, we talk Donegal and Tyrone, I suppose. It has become one of the great rivalries, hasn't it, probably, of the last decade or so in Ulster. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely, Tom. You know, I think since Jim came in 2011, you know, he managed to turn the tables in Tyrone. Tyrone would have dominated before that in Ulster and, you know, probably against Donegal as well. But I think since the turn of 2011 under Jim Syme and under Rory Syme, I think we've won maybe six out of seven championship matches. Obviously, the one that we lost was last year, which was very disappointing from a Donegal point of view. And, you know, a lot of Donegal people looking back would have said it was definitely one that got away. That's the final of last year, you know. So, listen, we've done well against Tyrone over this last number of years. But again, you know, the last real big game, you know, the league game aside earlier this year, the last big championship game was also final. And unfortunately, we came out on the wrong side of it.
Yeah, and Alan, I know you've probably given your position and given the geography of quite a lot of rivals. I'm sure Monaghan claimed to be good rivals as well. So too, the one in the early noughties obviously was Armagh, but Donegal have taken over that mantle, have they?
Yeah, they certainly have, Tom. And I think the big difference between maybe Tyrone and Donegal and Tyrone against Monaghan or even Armagh for that matter is that Tyrone haven't really been able to master Donegal, as it were. Like Tony there mentioned about how, you know, how Donegal had maybe won the past six or seven championship games between the two counties, and that's certainly something that Tyrone over the years, and even going back maybe till, you know, I'm thinking back to even to 2004 when Tyrone were All-Ireland champions and Donegal beat them in the Ulster semi-final, Tyrone just haven't been able to get the upper hand over Donegal as often as it would like, and Donegal have really been their Achilles heel, and I think that continues to be the case.
And what do you believe is the reason for that? Is it styles or is it just...
Well, I think part of it, Donegal play a very closely controlled game and certainly have done that even more so since probably 2011. But even since that, the mixture of that close control and the ability to maybe break at speed was something that Tyrone had difficulty coping with. And probably if you go back to even that 2004 game and more particularly 2011, you had Tyrone teams that were maybe tiring a wee bit after, you know, in 2004 it was after winning the All-Ireland, and 2003, and then in 2011 it was after, I suppose, they were going for three in a row of Ulster titles at that time. And I think Donegal's ball control and their ability to, as I say, break forward at speed, it maybe mirrors Tyrone's style to a certain extent, and as a result Tyrone have had difficulty dealing with that, opposed to maybe Armagh or Monaghan, who played maybe a more direct style at that time.
Yeah, anyway, Tony, of course in your time probably Derry was the rivals, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a sort of triangle in the early 90s, Tom. There was a case where it seemed to be ourselves, Derry and Down, and you know, we could seem to to beat Derry. Derry could seem to beat Down, and Down could seem to beat us, and we couldn't beat them, you know. And that sort of, you get cycles like that. But I think, you know, just going on Alan's point there with Tyrone and Donegal, I think when Jim obviously changed the system fairly radically in 2011 with the defensive system, and then he moved it on, I think probably where Tyrone fell down, a lot of their marquee forwards like Stephen O'Neill was finishing up, and Brian Duher, Brian McGuigan, and obviously they'd lost Canavan some years before that, and it was always going to be hard to break down that Donegal defence, and I suppose Donegal got better at that style over the following few years, and probably what Tyrone have been missing, you know, bar maybe Sean Kavanagh, who's had to play between midfield and full forward, you know, they've been missing sort of that one or two marquee forwards that you know, in a tight game that'll pull a score out of nothing, which Colin McFadden and Michael Murphy was fit to do for Donegal over them years, you know. And it's probably one thing that maybe is still possibly hanging over this Tyrone team, you know, whether they have the forwards. Not so much to one Ulster, because that's me, you know, anyone between Donegal, Tyrone and Monaghan are capable of one Ulster, but you know, the question mark, have Tyrone the forwards to go further into the championship and challenge for an All-Ireland?
Yeah, well, I suppose, Alan, that's the big question, and I suppose it's one that's asked in Tyrone as much as anywhere else.
Yeah, and I think the answer to that probably at the moment has to be no, they don't have the quality forwards or the marquee forward that'll be able to maybe get those half dozen points that'll, you know, steadily during every game that maybe make the difference between, you know, between a narrow defeat and a victory of 2 or 3 or 4 points. And that was, you know, that was certainly very telling against Mayo in the All-Ireland quarter-final last year, where there were numerous opportunities for the, you know, for Tyrone to actually go forward and take the victory on that occasion, and they weren't able to do it, because there was no one player who was able to fire over in the way that maybe Peter Canavan used to do back in 2003, or Stephen O'Neill in 2005, and Sean Kavanagh then in 2008. There's nobody that you can rely on to score maybe 6-7 points from both frees and play, and that was particularly evident even in the National League this year against Mayo. Again, a game that could have been won, and Tyrone weren't able to get the scores, and that's a major problem. And there's nobody off the current panel at the moment who stands out with that potential. Now, they may develop it as the season goes on, but at the moment, that's a major, remains a major question mark.
Yeah, and I suppose another man that's missed is an Owen Mulligan type of guy that can just hang that goal when you need it as well, probably, you know.
Yeah, there's nobody, Tom, that you can sort of say, you know, like a Dean Rock or a, you know, I'm thinking even of, you know, that player with that wee bit of class that you have to, a defender really has to, or two defenders really have to keep a close eye on him, the Conor McManuses of this world. There's nobody on the Tyrone team. You have a lot of forwards who are very good forwards, but they're just nobody at that higher level, and it's players of that higher level that you need to maybe go on and win, challenge for an All-Ireland and win one.
Yeah. And is that a coaching problem in the county? Because I have noticed, actually, with Tyrone underage teams, minors, under-17s, under-21, you know, they're all working off the same template, really.
Yeah, well, I think maybe it is possibly a coaching problem, because one of the things that I think in relation to coaching, and maybe more eligible or more qualified people than me might disagree.
No,
with
you're,
this,
you're, but you're qualified enough. You're long enough looking at games now.
But a lot of the spontaneity is coached out of players now, and they're not given that freedom to maybe go and do their own thing at underage level. With the result that by the time they get the senior, they're playing very much to a particular system, and that ability to do the unexpected, it doesn't exist to the same extent that it might have existed 10 or 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, we'll have the coaches union onto us on that one.
That's right.
and probably Tony Boyle, and I know we're digressing a little bit, I suppose you would come from that coaches union as well. What do you make of that statement by Alan?
In fairness, there's probably a fair bit of truth in it, Tom. You know, because you've got development squads now within every county that's taking players from clubs at an early age, down as far as 14 now, 14s, 15s, 16s, and because they're looking at what the senior teams doing, there probably is that element in it where it's won at all costs, and it takes that. I remember I was talking to someone earlier today, and we're looking maybe back yet. You know, it used to be the one-to-one battles that you would look forward to. You know, the Mickey Lins against the Kieran McKeevers, or testing yourself against the fullback, the best fullback of the day, and them one-to-one battles, and it made you a better player, made you a better individual player. You know, you had to think quick on your feet in that. And unfortunately, over this last number of years, that has gone, obviously, because teams now drop a lot more players back. And, unless you're an exceptional player, and we're very lucky to have the likes of Michael Murphy. Obviously, I know Alan is trying to write their own completely off that they have no forwards. They still have plenty of forwards, and they will have plenty of forwards come Sunday. But listen to me, they still have Sean Cavanagh, who's still a fantastic player, and Peter Hyatt as well. You know, and Darren McCurry came off to kick a couple of great scores against Derry as well, and young Mulgrew looked a fairly decent player when he came off the bench as well. So it's just unfortunately the way the game has gone. You know, them great one-to-one battles that you look forward to in the past, to see the corner forward get the better of the corner back. Unfortunately, the game has changed, and there's unfortunately not many of them, because you might for a split second get a 1v1 maybe like Conor McMahon has got against Cavan, where a defender switched off and he got 1v1, got by the last defender and stuck it in the net. But it's very rare that happens, because if you get by the first defender, there's normally a second and third defender there waiting on you,
Anyway, back to the pertinent question and the more important business. I know it's take Alan Rogers to rise a row, isn't it? But anyway, take it to Ron Hand to rise a row. But anyway, back to the more important business of the championship. Tony, what do you make of Donegal 2017?
I think they've been very good, Tom. I think a lot of Donegal people at the start of the year would have been thinking, this is definitely a year of transition. Obviously Rory has to be given a lot of credit that, when he took the job on, he wanted it for another 4 years. He obviously knew there was going to be a big turnover of players, that there was a lot of the older players coming to the end of their inter-county careers. But Rory obviously knew there was good talent coming through, and it's proved this year. To be fair, Tom, as starting out, people would have snapped the hand of you for us to still be in Division 1 at the end of the campaign. And probably at the end of it, a lot of Donegal supporters were disappointed we didn't make it to the league final, because, we should have beat Monaghan and Ballyshannon that day, and we probably should have beat Mayo the last day out down in Castlebar. But listen to me, the experience of championship is different, and senior championship is a big, big step up come Sunday. And we have at least a third of the team, and maybe even slightly over a third of the team, that has very, very little, if no, senior championship experience apart from the first day out against Antrim. But everyone knows that Sunday against Tyrone is going to be, there's going to be another 20%, 30%, intensity higher than that again. So it is a worry. It is a worry how they'll handle it. No, there's no secret what this game will be. It's not going to be, it's not going to be an open, free-flowing game. It's going to probably come down to a war of attrition. Tyrone are probably, still maybe looking back at the league game that Donegal won comfortably. I know the conditions were bad, and Tyrone are a decent enough team, but they're not going to be, I don't think they're going to be as open as they were that night. So listen, it's going to be a very, very difficult task for Donegal come Sunday, Tom, and it's one that it's going to be a very, very interesting battle. And as I say, the slight concern from a Donegal point of view is how the younger guys that have stepped up to the panel and done really, really well so far this year, how they'll handle that pressure of a big championship match against Tyrone.
That's the voice of Tony Boyle, former All-Star forward and, of course, a member of the Donegal 1992 All-Ireland winning team. And we're also joined on the programme tonight by Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald, batting for the O'Neill County tonight. But we're just going to take a short break now, and we'll be back to Alan and Tony. Fáilte ar ais, cos dhéanann clár cuma nuachtach Gael na seachtain seo. Tom Comack here as usual. My guests tonight are Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald and our former Donegal great Tony Boyle. And just before we return to the looking ahead to Sunday's game between Donegal and Tyrone in that eagerly awaited Ulster senior football semi-final clash, the first of those clashes, of course, Monaghan, who defeated Cavan last weekend, they play down the following Sunday in the athletic grounds in Armagh. Donegal and Tyrone are in Clonus on Sunday. It's a 2 o'clock throw in, and of course we'll have live action from that game on Sunday afternoon. But just before that, just before you turn to that game, just congratulations to Derry. They're the Nicky Rackard champions, and congratulations to their manager Collie McGurk, who we had on last night. Indeed, a member of that great McGurk clan from Derry. They defeated Armagh 3-23 to 2-15. Alan Grant, Gerald Bradley and Brian Cassidy scored the goals, and Brendan Rogers and Chrissy McKee got 3 points each. And well, certainly the talk about dual stars Brendan Rogers and Chrissy McKeag played senior football for Derry this year. They played senior hurling for Derry. They played senior club football for their club Slochneil and senior hurling for their club Slochneil. They won Ulster titles and both reached the Ulster final or the All-Ireland semi-final in the hurling and the All-Ireland final in the football, and still going strong. So I think that the debate is still open on whether there's room for the dual star in Gaelic games or not. But back to more pressing matters, and that's the Ulster final and that meeting of Tyrone and Donegal in Clonus on Sunday. Alan Rogers, we heard what Tony Boyle thought of Donegal, and we know you would think that Tyrone are probably still looking for that one marquee forward, but overall, what did you make of Tyrone this year?
Yeah, well, I suppose even though they are looking for that marquee forward, I'm thinking back to the match against Dublin in Croke Park. I think it was a wet Saturday night in February or March, and on that occasion Tyrone should have won that game, and it didn't really matter whether they'd won marquee forward or not, because Tyrone are a very, very competitive team, and they're well able to compete with the very best in the country because their system and their control on the ball and their ability to break at speed and put themselves into positions for scores, it's going to mean that no matter who they're playing, they're going to be within 2 or 3 points of them during the last couple of minutes, and then at that stage it's anybody's game. And certainly on that occasion, Dublin, who were unbeaten and All-Ireland champions, of course, it certainly were very fortunate to, you know, to get the draw. Now, obviously, with the National League, the final three games against Kerry, Mayo and Donegal took Tyrone from being league leaders and on course for a final place to actually at one point on the final day being in danger of relegation. But at the same time, no, I definitely think no matter what the outcome of Sunday's game, Tyrone are going to be in there in the All-Ireland quarter-final come the first weekend in August, because they are a very good side. They have a lot of top-quality players who can play to a system, who are fairly experienced now at this stage in terms of their, you know, in terms of both league and championship action. And, you know, you look at the likes of the defence, where you've Ronan McNamee, Tiernan McCann, Peter Hart. Like, you couldn't really get three more competitive and more accomplished footballers in the whole country than those three. Equally, like Colm Kavanagh, there's very few more experienced than him. And at midfield, and Conor McCann came in there against Derry and did very well. But I suppose when you look at the thing, I think a lot of Tyrone's best football at the moment is coming through 3-4 players, and Peter Hart would be one of them. Niall Sludden at centre-half forward is a real, very effective playmaker. You have Matty Donnelly as well, and then you have Sean Kavanagh. And if those four players can sort of, I suppose, break down the Donegal line of defence that's going to be along maybe between the middle third of the field, if those four players can break that, then Tyrone are going to be on course for a win here. But that's a very, very big if in terms of how Sunday's game will go. And if you look back to, I was thinking there about last year's Ulster final, the key moment wasn't the 3 points at the finish. The key moment was a tackle which Jonathan Munro of Carrickmore, who has since left the panel, made coming near the end. It broke I suppose, the Donegal stranglehold on possession from that Tyrone then moved forward. And that was where the three, you know, that was where the three winning points came from. And that's what's going to be needed again on Sunday, because like Tyrone, Donegal are very, very effective at keeping possession. And in the modern game, that's absolutely crucial.
And tell me, Alan, how is this Donegal team viewed? I know I spoke to Mickey Hart last week, and he admitted that he was surprised because everybody thought, as Tony Boyle said at the outset, that Donegal were going to be in somewhat of transition.
Certain element of Donegal being a... you know, Tyrone have become so used to playing Donegal over the years, over this past few years, and they've become accustomed to a lot of the familiar names. Now, there are seven new players, I think, on the Donegal team that played against Antrim. So, from a certain extent, Donegal are an unknown quantity. But at the same time, there's nobody in Tyrone under any illusions about the, you know, about the task facing them. And I suppose there's a realisation that it's not going to be in any way easy, because Donegal are still a very, very strong side. They still have a core of probably about 10 players who have been there, done that since 2010, 2011. And that's, you know, I think that maybe instills a certain wariness within Tyrone that, okay, this isn't going to be a victory that's going to be in any way easy whatsoever.
Yeah, so there's no sense of that they finally laid the bogey last year with that win in the Ulster final?
No, definitely not. I think if anything, there's a sense that, you know, that I suppose especially with the league game, even though it was one-sided, and even though maybe you can't read too much into it, I think there's a realisation that last year's Ulster final, while it wasn't by any means a fluke, and I think there's a determination within Tyrone to sort of show that it wasn't just a one-hit wonder. There's also that realisation that up until the 71st minute, Donegal were very much in control of that Ulster final and really should have had it won, only for that tackle by Jonathan Munro and the three late points.
Tato Agish, Glishan Clark, and Luke Lasky and Lashock to the Sholami, Tom Comack. That's the voice of Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald. He's batting for Tyrone tonight. Of course, they're playing Donegal in the Ulster final on Sunday, or Ulster semi-final on Sunday. And of course, the prize for the winners is a place in the final against either Monaghan or Down in 3 weeks' time or 4 weeks' time. But back to you, Tony Boyle. Tony, looking at the game on Sunday and the talk about matchups and the talk about key battles, where are the key battles? Where are the key matchups in this game as you see them?
I think from a Donegal point of view, Tom, obviously Michael Murphy is probably in the form of his life and fitness wise, and you know, he's been really had a great campaign in the league, and it looks like now it's going to be an out and out midfielder for us. I think the day of Michael rotating from midfield into the full forward line, I think that's over from Donegal's point of view. He seems to be more comfortable out around the middle, a wee bit more freedom out around the middle, and that's me. What is your feeling?
Do you agree with that?
Listen, me probably I needs must, Tom. You know, I would have been always in the camp that you know, as a former full forward, you know, I would have felt Michael's best position, most dangerous position, would have been in the edge of the square where we could leave him there as long as possible. You know, I wasn't a great believer that you could play at the edge of the square for 10 minutes and then come out and play in midfield and then be sharp to go back inside, you know. But listen, at the end of the day, the managers, you know, whether it was Rory, whether it's Jim, seen that, you know, if Michael was needing out the middle, and I remember talking to Michael after a club match last week, Michael was saying himself, you know, he loves full forward, but he gets very, very impatient, and you know, if the ball's not coming in, he wants to go after the ball, and that's just the type of player he is. But I think we're Michael midfield, I think the big onus may, you know, will come on, you know, probably Paddy McBrearty from the point of view, you know, Rory left him off against Antrim, you know, which maybe surprised a lot of people, but, you know, Paddy did look sharp when he came on and kicked a couple of good scores. I suppose it's not a case, nobody doubts Paddy's ability, but I think maybe now they're, you know, with Michael going to be out around the middle of the field, we need that target man, we need that leadership that Michael would have showed in there, you know, and Paddy is the one man I think that, you know, the players are going to look to, and I suppose he doesn't have the, whether you call it pressure or that of taking the free kicks anymore, because it looks like Kieran Thompson is going to be your free kick kick taker from the right hand side. So, you know, Paddy's going to have to do most of his from open play, which maybe adds another bit of pressure to him. But I think Lismy has the capability. The other thing I would like to see, Tom, is, you know, we've tried Hugh McFadden and full forward. I think he's definitely an option for to give us that wee bit of ability to hit high ball. And then I would like to see, you know, that possibly at some stage that Hugh and Paddy walks inside with maybe Jamie Brennan played off them. You know, I was impressed with Jamie. You know, got a great goal, got a couple of points as well, and looked decent against Antrim. But again, it's another step up. But I think, obviously, you know, Mickey Hart's going to have a plan for Michael Murphy. And if that's Justin McMahon, you know, we've been there before, we've seen it before. But, you know, maybe that's not as easy done when Michael's out around the middle of the field and probably as fit as he's ever been. But obviously, you know, Neil possibly will pick up Sean Kavanagh, and obviously Sutton needs to be picked up with it. You know, probably Frank will do that job. But I think, you know, probably the difference, one of the big differences in this Donegal team from last year to this year is, you know, we've added pace to the team, we've added youth, and that's automatically given us pace. And that's where, you know, maybe where we didn't have that last year in the Ulster final, you know, we've showed against teams in the league this year that, you know, we have a lot of pace in the team, and, you know, that can only be good for this Donegal team.
Tony, just briefly and very briefly before we let you go, of course, this is the 25th anniversary. You have a big golf classic coming up. I know you're part of the organising committee, haven't you? 1992, just remind us when it's on.
Yeah, we have a golf classic this Friday, Tom, in the Balbuffet and St Order Club, and we've got a great turnout of teams. We have over 50 teams that are going to be there, and we're still obviously open to tea sponsors and green sponsors. But listen, it's a get together of the, as you say, the 92 squad. We're trying to get a couple of get-togethers this year, and hopefully raise a bit of money for towards the end of the year for charity from some of the get-togethers.
Look, at Tony, thank you indeed, and also thanks to Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald. From me, Tom Cormack, Cadhnín Seachtain, Johagan, or Jimmy Stafford as well, or sound Slán Lugas Bannock.